Thank you very much, and thank you for giving me the chance to come along this morning and just say a few words from the City Hall perspective on all of this. And the first thing I've got to say is that when this was first conceived as an idea in the heat of Boris Johnson's election and then translated into action afterwards, I don't think we ever thought that it would ever be as successful and perhaps as significant as it actually has become. And in many ways, this is down to the fantastic job that Tony did as chairman of that commission and his ability to bring together people from all parties and from none and to get a coherent set of arguments which everybody could go in behind. And I do commend the document to you, and I think if you haven't read it, you should. It's not a hard read, and it really does very cogently make the points which have just been made by Tony, but gives all the arguments behind it, and it's a great document. And it's, in many ways, I think of it as a blueprint for the government's own legislation and its own localism agenda, and indeed a blueprint for the other parties as well. And I think it's very important that this whole issue isn't just a one-party one. It is about all three political parties. It is about something I think everybody in this room believes in, and I think it's something that many people across the country believe in. And what we've now got to do is take the recommendations which are in that report and start making them a reality. Now, the Mayor has very wide-ranging ambitions for London, and he published that in a document called London 2020. Again, a document, actually an easier read than the other one, because it was written by Boris himself, and it is written in his own style, and it is certainly by no means an official read, if I can describe it as that. There's one or two bits when it was in draft. We actually, those of us who were proofreading, had to say to him, look, you can't send it out like this. You actually have to send a dictionary with it as well to explain some of the words in it. Anyway, he did scale it back a little bit on that point, but still good read. But anyway, the point of it is that this document tries to pick up the underlying theme in London, and that is that we have a population of 8.4 million today. As Tony said, rising to 9 million by 2020, rising to 10 million by 2031. Now, you cannot have that kind of increase in population unless we have the infrastructure that goes with it. Otherwise, we will destroy the very city we are all working so hard for and believe in, because we have got to put in the railway infrastructure, the electricity, the gas, the water, the parks, the open spaces, the housing, you name it. They've all got to be funded somehow. And there is a big bill at the back of that. Now, nowhere in this document, nowhere in any of the political arguments I think anybody's ever made, has there been an argument that we want more revenue to fund more services. Nobody's arguing that. That's never been the case. What we're saying is we need more revenue to fund capital, because capital equals infrastructure. It's an investment. And it's that investment we've got to have as a city. As many of you are aware, the Mayor has identified lots of opportunity areas around London where we can get enormous growth in housing. But every one of those opportunity areas, whether it be Croydon, whether it be Barking, whether it be Wembley, Old Oak, you know, you name these places, but all of them have a reason that they've sat there through property boom after property boom and never moved. And the reason is quite simply there's an infrastructure fault line within them. And whatever that infrastructure fault line is, you've got to correct it. Otherwise, we cannot get those developments off the ground. I don't want to repeat some of the things that Tony said about centralisation, but centralisation has been taking place steadily over many, many years. And the trouble is that our government is conservative, small c, conservative, when it comes to finance, regardless of the political colour of that government. They have wanted to retain complete control of finance centrally. And there's been a total unwillingness to let some of these things loose. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why so many people are disinterested in local elections and disinterested in what takes place in their town hall, because they can see the amount of movement and the difference between the parties has been severely limited. This actually would allow that difference to start coming through. And then people can make their choices. And it'll be open to them to make their choice. But the thing is, we can reinvigorate local government as well. So that's that point, which I think does need to be put there. And the other big point, from my point of view, is that increasing annoyance, irritation, if you like, which I suspect I'm not alone in feeling, and I suspect all of you do to some extent, as I watch Scotland and I watch Wales and I watch what's being devolved in the way of power to Scotland and Wales, and I look at the fact that the Welsh population is next to nothing in comparison to any of our big cities. And you see that great devolution and you think, when are we going to have some English devolution in all this? When are we actually going to see some of the benefits working down into our communities? And I think that is a big issue. I think it's a growing issue. And I think it's one that this starts to correct by giving those cities. And remember, it is these cities. London is 23% of the country's GDP. The rest of the southeast is about 22%. You've got this great economic block driving the economy, yet we are not seeing those benefits working through to London. And I think that's an extremely important point. So all this frustrates our ambitions. It frustrates our ambitions for growth. And the only figure I wanted just to finish off on is, if we spend a lot of time looking at our international competitors, 74% of our income here in London, between us all, is from government grant. I talk to colleagues in New York. They have 31% government grant. If you go to Berlin, it's 25%. You go to Paris, it's 17%. And you go to Tokyo, it's 8%. The rest of their money, they raise themselves. And I think that's one of the most telling things. And we've got to get ourselves. We've got to become a New York. Ideally, we'd become a Tokyo. But let's just become a New York and get that greater share or greater ability to invest in our own future. And therefore, I commend very much the report to you. I urge you to have a read of it if you haven't done so, but above all I urge you to support the moves that are taking place to devolve financial power to our cities, to our boroughs. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Eddie, and I'd very much echo what you said. It's a very much a cross-party position, cross-party view across London councils amongst the leaderships that this is the only practical way forward in a world of diminishing resources, and also not least the position amongst where we are alongside Scotland and Wales. Alexandra.
Hello. Well, I'm delighted to be here at such an important conference. And my think tank, Centre for Cities, as Jules said, is the only think tank dedicated to understanding and improving city economies around the UK. So this agenda is one we're constantly studying, looking at. We do it through research and policy, through networks, through working with cities. We're all about changing policy and practice, and all our research shows that what we've been talking about and the London Finance Commission is absolutely critical, not just to London, as has been said, not just to the other cities, actually, but to the UK economy as a whole. And what I want to do in my few minutes is really talk through three main points. First, and I think many of you will know this, but I think it bears restating and restating why this is so important, why it matters so much that we do devolve more to cities, and why not doing it is going to be a real problem for the UK economy in the future. Second, where we are now, why the UK is so behind, where we are with things like city deals and growth deals, and what next? And I think the third thing I want to talk about is what next and what are some of the opportunities building on the London Finance Commission, which Tony chaired so excellently. What next? Where do we go? How do we make this a reality? So first of all, why do cities matter? Now, many of you will know this, but I think it's not commonly understood. People don't think about cities when they're thinking about the big debates about how you get more jobs and how you improve the economy. But around the world, the economy is changing. So more and more jobs are in services. They're more knowledge-intensive jobs. Manufacturing still matters, but there are fewer and fewer jobs in it. And then in a world where jobs are increasingly from service sector, they're increasingly more knowledge-intensive, cities are absolutely critical. If you look at a map of the world, it's incredibly spiky. Jobs are concentrating in cities because businesses know that they can then get access to customers, far more skilled workers, and far more of the ideas that really push them and drive them and give them the innovation. When I talk about cities, what I really mean is city regions or cities in wider areas, because we all know that many people do increasingly live in inner cities, which is fantastic. But many people will live outside, travel a long way. If you look at London, the commuting distances are significant. The impact that London has on the rest of the country is enormous. So when we're talking cities, really we're talking about the city centre and the surrounding area. And that's what makes places thrive. So it's a much bigger agenda than sometimes people think. They think it's urban versus rural. Actually, urban creates jobs for rural, and there's a kind of a complementary relationship. So cities, absolutely vital. They're, if you're a worker in a city, you're 10% more productive. Your carbon emissions are 16% lower. And in the UK, 3/4 of the highly skilled jobs are in cities. Cities are vital. Around the world, they're vital. In the UK, they're vital. This is the way we're going to get growth. And yet in England, 7 out of the 9 biggest cities at the moment perform below the national average. Won't surprise you to know that London isn't performing below the national average in any way. But that's a real problem for us as a country. If we don't get this better, if we don't make the most of London and our other big cities, then we are going to be in a real problem, facing real problems in the future. So cities matter. It's also clear, as I said, that some cities do better than others. If you've got higher skills, you've got better connections, you've got the infrastructure investment we talked about, a more diverse economy, you do better. There are other places, Hull, Stoke-on-Trent, where they've got lower levels of skills, less good connections, less diverse economy. They're facing more challenges. And what that means is cities matter, but you need different policies in different places. And to give you a very live example for London, housing. We desperately need more housing in London, the South East. I know it's something that's being addressed. In Burnley, you do not need more houses. You need to replace them. You need to refurbish them. You need to knock them down. And Burnley would say the same thing. And a policy that's the same across the country, at best, does okay for some areas, and at worst, doesn't help anywhere. We have to be able to vary policy. So, second point, if cities matter, but they're different, and you need to vary policy, where are we now? Well, you know where we are. We have one of the most centralised countries in the developed world, incredibly centralised compared to almost everywhere else. The levels of grant, as has been said, 60% is the average that local authorities rely on central government. And the more need you have, the more reliant you are. At the minute, we've had some steps towards more powers for cities in the form of city deals. That wasn't for London. It was initially for the 8 biggest English cities, then it was for 20 more. And the idea behind that was at least that cities matter to economic growth, that they're different, and that there's a deal to be done. That actually, if cities can offer something to national government and say, well, if you give us this, we'll be able to do this additionally, and it's different and it's better and you'll get more, then we'll change things for you. And I think it started well, and there are some good innovations. There's a big $1.5 billion investment fund in Birmingham. There's freedom over skills. There's apprenticeships. There's a policy in Manchester where they get to earn back some of the money if they increase economic growth. They get to keep a bit of that. But it hasn't gone a long way. In fact, as the deals have gone on, the first 8, I think, did some good things. The next 20 are much smaller. And what's happened is it's kind of started to run into the sand a little bit. With cities not being clear enough about how important this is to national government, is what national government tells me, and national government starting to say, you know what, I don't want to give this power away. Nobody wants to give power away, and they're starting to close it down. They're starting to make it harder to devolve. And the agenda's moving now as well, away from city deals, where they've got narrower and they're focusing on individual things, to growth deals, which is the Heseltine agenda, local growth deals. They're at local enterprise partnership level. They're meant to be deals where you get access to a very small $2 billion single local growth fund. But you also talk about other things, economic issues, access to European money. Now, I think it's positive that they're focusing on places still, but it doesn't do what we're talking about in the London Finance Commission. And crucially, it doesn't focus on cities in the way that we would argue the evidence shows it needs to. We have to make the most of cities. It also leads to potentially, and it might not go here, but potentially doing the same things everywhere, trying to do the same things everywhere rather than actually saying cities, you can do different things in cities, and particularly in some of the bigger cities, than you can in some of the smaller cities. The final point I'd want to make, so we've got city deals, fantastic idea, hasn't quite delivered in practice. We're now moving on to growth deals. Again, there's a lot of potential there. The government says they're up for lots of ideas, but I think there's a real argument to be made about why some of the things in the London Finance Commission are so important. And then the other point is Scottish and Welsh devolution has been mentioned. There's an opportunity there to start arguing for different things. The final point I want to make about where we are just illustrates quite how far we have to go to make sure the incentives are right for places to really transform services, really transform the economy in the way they should. And that example is troubled families. So you'll all know the community budget programmes. There's a troubled families pilot in Manchester, which showed you could make 10 million of cashable savings if you just do things a bit differently, if you work together, if you focus services, and if you actually do this at a local level, not just designed in Whitehall. 10 million cashable savings, 2/3 of the money from local partners. Take a guess how much of the savings went to the local area. I won't make people put your hands up. It was 20%. 80% of the money went straight back to Whitehall. And that is where we are, and that's the structure we're working in. And that cannot be right. You're making the savings, you can transform things, better services, but actually the money is not being reinvested locally. And it's even more critical when it comes to the capital infrastructure. So my final points, where are we? It's absolutely vital we invest more in cities. It's absolutely vital we make the most of them. We know that the right infrastructure, the right skills, a diverse economy, that's what makes them thrive. In London, you face particular challenges. You're the UK's most successful city by far, the only truly global city at the moment. You've got all the opportunities and challenges that go with it: international investment, attractive location, great culture, but congestion, housing, skills, challenges around employment. They're going to keep increasing because you're going to keep, I hope, thriving, particularly if you can invest in the infrastructure that you need. There are political challenges facing London. You need these powers. The UK needs you to have these powers, but it needs to be about other cities as well, because there is a challenge, a perception that perhaps that some of the powers that go to London means that the North loses out. Actually, if we get the relationships right between London and the other major cities, it won't. It's actually a virtuous circle. You can already see that in some of the numbers, and we're doing some work on that at the centre at the moment. So it's a virtuous circle, but you need to be making the argument that actually the London Finance Commission, which you do say, is a trailblazer for the rest of the country. This is about changing the way that our country works in order to make the most of the economy, in order to create more opportunities. So it is about exceptions for different places. You need to pitch the argument, I think, very carefully about this is a vision for London's success. It's a vision for the UK's success. My final point is that I think we also need to make sure that we... Final two points. First, that we're being very clear what we're trying to get to. What would different look like? How would it benefit people? How would we actually get the public interested? And that's my final point. I think on this agenda, many of you, I hope, will be bought into this. It's absolutely vital. If we don't do what's in the London Finance Commission, we are going to lose out as a city and as a country. But we also need to make it more interesting for people. A lot of people just don't get it. They don't see if you want to get more jobs, if you want to reduce the deficit, you have to think cities. This is the only way. And one of the things we'll be doing at the centre, working with all of the major cities, is trying to make sure that people do realise quite how vital cities are to all the things we're trying to do and be as a country. So I would just commend the London Finance Commission and all that's been trying to be done with that to you. It is vital. Without it, London won't be able to thrive in the same way, and nor will the UK. Thank you.